Good morning, everybody. Kevin Draco with this Dream House here, along with my co-host Chef Mark and Kevin Kistner behind the board. Brought to you in part by Appliance Factory and Mattress Kingdom, Colorado's largest appliance and mattress retailer. This Dream House, if you don't know, is a program that's really all about the home. And let's face it, we've changed it, right, guys? It's lifestyle, man.
It's lifestyle.
We're talking Colorado, it's Denver.
It's all about the world.
It really is. Really, what we've just said is nothing's kind of out of bounds. But we are going to discuss in many times common homeowner pitfalls, give you advice of buying and selling homes. And if you have any questions, contact us by email at thisdreamhouse@gmail.com, or you can also find us on Facebook at Twitter at This Dream House, and we'd love to hear from you. Go, how you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing great. I gotta tell you, it's been quiet around here.
Why?
Because you've been gone for what seems like weeks, if not months. Kevin, we were talking about this earlier, Mr. Kistner. It's been quiet, but it's been nice.
It's been nice and quiet.
Throw darts, why don't you guys?
Relaxing.
Yeah, yes. we've been able to clean up around here, get the studio nice and tidy.
I got the text today, I'm here, from Draco. I was like, here we go.
Here we go.
You guys better get on your games with that.
Well, so, but Kevin, it begs the question, where the heck have you been?
Well, it's interesting you ask, because even to me and to Cindy, it kind of felt like we were gone for a long time, because we've never done kind of our own 2-week vacation. I don't think
two weeks.
Yeah, so
wow.
Ultimately, now we were.
It had to be on the other side of the world if you were gone for that long.
It pretty much was. It seemed like it was.
Okay.
Yeah, man. So we had it most. I would tell you. You know, I like to travel. You know, Cindy and I love to travel.
Yeah,
it doesn't
absolutely.
Matter where we travel. We just like to travel.
Sure.
And while we're not, you know, the most incredible travelers, we're certainly maybe more travelers than others. And so we went to Egypt. Ah, lifelong dream.
Egypt.
This has been 58 years in the making. Yes, that's my age. However, honestly, I had a chance to do this almost 30 years ago, and I said no, and I didn't do it. And it's just been on the bucket list ever since. So finally pulled the trigger.
All right. And so you didn't get mummified.
Well, I don't know. It depends what night it was. But anyway.
Did you see any mummies?
You know, incredibly, we did. And it is, holy cannoli, amazing.
Is it different than what you would see at the museum?
No.
Okay.
No. It's, right? Mummies are mummies. Let's be honest. Whether you see it here in Denver, right? I think they even have the Egyptian mummy still here in Denver, which we've gone to see. I would say, though, the ones in Egypt have a little historic stature is a little different.
Yeah. So going there, did you book with a travel agent or did you just show up?
What a great question. Egypt is very hard to navigate on your own. I would almost suggest you can't do it. We won't get into too much of that because we could talk probably the whole show about that. And I have to be honest with you, a little pricey. Can't. However.
Sure.
By the end, and our question going out was, would it be worth it?
Was it worth it?
It was a value. That's how worth it it was.
And what makes this, it sounds like a premium product, so what made it a value?
Well, I would say this. The amount of travel, the amount of sights. I just want to throw this at you real quick, and then you can ask me any questions on these you want. Ready?
Okay.
Sphinx, pyramids, walking tour, old Cairo, Khan el Khali, which is the most famous market bazaar in Cairo. Egyptian Museum, the Egyptian Museum of Civilization, 3-day cruise down the Nile, Temple of Philae, traditional felucca trip, which is a sailing ship, which was actually very cool.
Oh, cool.
Very unique to itself. Abu Simbel, Karnak, Luxor, Kum Umbo Temple. I probably said that. I messed that name up, but it is what it is, Kum Umbo. Valley of the Kings. All in one, what I would tell you, 10-day trip, ultimately, because you got travel there, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Did you say snakes on the top of that list?
You know,
or what'd you say? How'd you
Sphinx.
Say
that?
Sphinx.
Yes.
I thought you said
snakes. I didn't see snakes. They said they exist, especially if you're digging in the ground. They still exist. But I saw none in sort of the market. You know, there was nobody kind of, what do they call that? Charming the snake.
Okay, because that's why I don't want to go to Egypt, because I'm scared of like a cobra something.
Like coming home with one in your suitcase?
Yeah.
Or just seeing one and I'm out of the country in
honestly,
half a second.
Never saw one. Saw that?
Really? Because you're scared of snakes, too.
I don't like snakes, but I don't mind looking at them from a distance. Yeah. I don't want to be holding one, but I'm okay with them.
Oh, I can't even be in I can't be in the same room. Chad Brown has threatened me to bring one in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll be out that window.
Yeah, I'd be out the window with you. There ain't no way I'm touching one or holding one or getting that close.
All right, I got a question.
Go ahead.
How long does it take a Kevin and Cindy to get to or from Egypt?
Yeah, 13 hours of flight time.
Woo.
However, once you factor the airport wait, and the other thing, you know, it's funny, our Egyptian guide, which I'm sure we'll get into, said, have time to spare, take Egypt Air. They operate differently.
Okay.
There's no such thing as a schedule.
Ah, gotcha.
And in some cases, you may miss things, and they may – what makes it very hard sort of on a Disney guide is sort of, you know, making this all work logistically is extremely, extremely difficult, time-consuming, and a lot of work. So, yeah, I mean, you – now factor that in and just factor in regular delays. We were delayed, as an example, 3 hours taken off from Denver. I sat in the airport for 3 hours beyond our two-hour early time to get there.
Yeah, that seems pretty typical for international these
so
days.
So ultimately, you're up 24 hours. So, and by the way, it didn't change come back. It was the same.
Gotcha.
So 24 hours.
Okay, so tell us more about this guide and
First off, that
experience.
This is your – first off, Tiffany, Mustafa, and Nirmeen. Nirmeen was our Egyptologist. They give you an Egyptologist pretty much. They travel with you 24/7.
So this is basically a certified expert in all things Egypt?
An Egyptologist,
wow.
Certified Egyptologist. And she was amazing. Then you get a Disney guide who was Tiffany. And this girl, boy, she got it together. Like, she was pleasant, but I thought there was boundaries, but you didn't really see the boundaries. Like, it's an art to do this, I think. You can't just be a people person, I don't think, and be a guide. It's more than that. And then you get a local guide. So someone locally who has just done this throughout Egypt, and his name was Mustafa. These were the three most incredible human beings I have ever met in my life. And when we talked about value, these people were with you 24/7. When I got on the trip, I thought, you know what? I want to do this. Like, wouldn't you like to be a guide in Colorado?
Yeah, sure. I feel like I could be an expert.
Yes.
Yeah.
I watched them for 3 days, and here's what I realized.
Okay.
I wouldn't make it 1 week doing what they do.
And why is that? Like, what do they do?
The amount of work, first off, the amount of work. They carry a bag at all times. Like, it's almost like the Mary Poppins bag. Whatever you want, it's in there, right? They carry that. They arrange. They make sure you're never wanting to go to the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
The logistics, we went from one end of the country to the other. Now, you can imagine taking 35 people and making sure they were everywhere they were supposed to be
on time,
at all times,
mm-hmm.
going from, again, 10 segmented flights, a cruise, bus trips, back and forth. Like, just that logistics. And by the way, when they're done treating you like gold, and they did, I thought I could ask for anything. They're so accommodating. They work after hours to make sure for the next day that you're logistically set up, whether it's making sure with the police and like there's all these rules and guidelines. So these individuals, to me, we were traveling sometimes. We spent 10 hours, right? Your day would start at 8. You'd end sometimes at 10, 10:30.
Wow, yeah.
And they were working before you got there, and they worked after you get
there.
So it's not easy, man. Wow. All hats off. That alone was a value.
Now, I have heard through the grapevine that tipping is an important part of the culture in Egypt. What was your experience?
First off, I think the thing to understand, too, though, is like, you know, 100 Egyptian pounds is like $3.
Okay.
Right? So you're thinking 100 pounds. 100. You're thinking dollars in your money.
Right.
But that's only three.
Wow.
So, and so, yeah, everybody, it's a tipping-driven society. But at the end of the day, I could tell you guys, like, it's like, oh, my God, this guy deserves a whole lot more than I'm actually tipping him. You know, because I'm tipping him maybe a 50, right? Well, that's like $1.50, but it's 50.
Do they get offended by that? Or
no. Oh, no. Now, everybody's got their hand. Like, by the way, I had a guy, we put our luggage on the ground. He wanted to put it from the ground onto the conveyor belt. He was only doing that to get a tip. That was interesting. He took it there and lifted it on the conveyor belt, which I could have done easily, right? And you know what? I'm okay with it. I really was okay with it. First off, it really wasn't anything. In the big picture for what you're doing, but then There were other people, Chef, and I think this is the difference that I saw in Egypt. One, very proud, welcoming. I have never, well, I won't say never. Ireland was similar. But they are as welcoming of a person, the Egyptians, as I've ever seen anywhere in my travels, ever. And they're genuine. They genuinely want to give you great service. They genuinely love that you're there visiting with them. You know, you've been places, right? You've been in the service industry. People sometimes are nice because they're told they have to be nice. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah.
It's almost begrudging.
Sometimes it's part of the job.
I saw that nowhere. At any time, no matter the level of the job, when you even thanked them, there was this genuineness of pride that I've never seen anywhere. Anywhere. I couldn't believe it. So you wanted to tip. It wasn't a matter. You just wanted to do it.
I'm nice to you all the time, and you haven't tipped me.
Well, that's because you're just having to be nice. See, there's difference. They're genuine.
But I feel like I'm genuine.
So it's ingrained in the culture.
It really is. But, look, it's just the most friendliest place you'll ever find.
So what about the history? What did you learn about the history of Egypt that surprised you?
Well, I think a lot of people ask me safety.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't you agree, as American citizens, we think, well, maybe Egypt isn't safe?
You know, that's a great question because there's been political turmoil in the recent
past.
Through
its history, right?
Right, yes.
I, at no time, 14, 13, whatever the days I was there, because here's another thing, by the way, no idea what day of the week it was when we were there. None. No concept at all.
Wow.
I had no idea. But that tells you something, right?
Sure.
But at no time. No time did I ever feel unsafe. Matter of fact, there's been plenty of places in the U.S. that I have felt unsafe. I never for a moment felt unsafe there, ever.
But did you see things like heavy police presence?
Well, that's interesting, too. So another thing that you get with the Disney experience here was, and by the way, a lot of tour groups get this. Tourism is so important, and safety is so important. I think they do it so you feel safe, right? So we had an undercover police officer, government official with us at all times. And oh yes, by the way, he had an Uzi or an automatic 9mm, which is one of those like machine gun looking things under his jacket.
Okay.
And it didn't matter where you went, he was with you. If you were walking in the street, he made sure nobody basically came up from behind you. Like
petty crime, pickpocket.
Yeah, wasn't
kind of
needed.
Thing.
Yeah. It really, I didn't feel it was needed personally, but it was there for you. The other thing is, though, I mean, let's face it, right? They have, there's a lot of historic things. And just, hey, why, if you were wanting to be a bad guy, maybe you want to blow up a dam, right?
Oh, that's a good
point. And flood somebody. Well, at that dam, there was full-fledged military, and I'm going to tell you it was a tank, but it was an armored car vehicle with like a guy sitting in the seat in 50mm. Constant ready position, which I was like, oh, that's interesting. However, I saw nothing that would make you require, again, from a safety, they take safety to the extreme, I think, which prevents any of the norm. And they're always sort of ready. And to some way, that really made you feel at ease.
See, because we always hear that it's so dangerous over there.
Yeah.
I mean, we've never been there.
And it's interesting. You know what the Egyptians said? That's the media. That's what's built. It's not what's true. And which is why, as an American, when we were there, we were so, as Americans, like, welcomed every – I don't think there was a person that didn't say to me, we love America. Not a person. You know how people go, oh, when you go overseas, you know, they don't like Americans. And these guys were genuine about it. I now have friends on Facebook who message me still – from Egypt in such genuineness, like, when you come back, please come stay to my home. I will open my home to you. Like, I will take my vacation from work and open my home. You stay with me. Like, the genuineness just blew me away. Blew me away.
Now, so what about, like, hotels? Bars on the windows? The hotels?
No. Matter of fact, again, Disney. Kudos to Disney. Kudos to you, Tiffany. We stayed at the Ritz-Carlton, which was amazing in Cairo, right across the Nile River. You got this whole beautiful river view of the city. Again, here's a great one. You tell me where this happens in America.
You know what? Before we hear about that, I think we should take a break because All this talk about the desert's got me thirsty. I need a big, tall glass of water. We're going to hear from responses. We'll be right back.
Don't buy until you shop Appliance Factory and Mattress Kingdom. Save 30 to 60% on thousands of appliances. They get exclusive factory buys from the manufacturers at huge discounts and pass the savings on to you. Guaranteed to beat Lowe's and Home Depot's sale prices. Save 30 to 60% from GE to KitchenAid at Appliance Factory, Colorado's appliance experts with a 4.7-star Google rating. Plus, Mattress Kingdom inside Appliance Factory. Work with a sleep expert on mattresses from Tempur-Pedic to Purple. Don't buy until you shop Appliance Factory and Mattress Kingdom. Visit appliancefactory.com.
We're back with Kevin Drago. He's talking about his Egypt trip. You left us hanging.
Oh my God, yeah.
We want to hear a little bit about the Ritz-Carlton that you stayed at.
Is it like
a Western hotel?
Oh, very much. I mean, it was so – I slept like a rock. You don't have a choice because you're just busy doing all these things, right? In Cairo, we went to the Muhammad Ali Mosque. We went to the bazaar. We went to two museums. You just go, right? However, what was interesting was they were painting on our floor. And these guys were up on a, I don't know, it was probably like an 8-foot ladder.
Okay.
And whenever you entered the hallway from the elevator or you entered the hallway from your room, every single time they would get off the ladder, fold the ladder, and greet you and ask you how your stay was and thank you for coming. Is there anything I can do for you? And then when you exited the hallway, they opened the ladder back up and climbed back. Like, could you ever imagine that happening here?
No, because
I haven't seen it, but I'm just asking.
If you're anything like me, when I travel, I go back to the room like 6 times because I forget something.
You know, it's so true. Cindy said to us, my God, they must be really hating us. And I said, no, did you not see the genuine? Because we did that like literally in 20 minutes. We must have come by, you know, 3 times each way. And each time they had to climb down off that. But anyway, just a sample of the customer service.
I love it. So let's talk a little bit about the history and the sites.
Yeah.
So obviously you saw pyramids, Valley of the Kings.
This is really...
What did you see? Tell me.
So this is cool, dude. This is, again, when you looked at where does your costing go for this trip, and you see you got these guides, you got Egyptologists, you have police, you have buses, you have boats, you have... Okay, how about this? You get... when you go to the Sphinx, it's usually very crowded. There's vendors everywhere. People, they do love to sell to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're very aggressive. You have to get used to that. But there was nobody. We got after hours. And what we got to do is if you look at the paws of the Sphinx. Sphinx?
Sphinx?
Sphinx.
Right? Sphinx.
Sphinx.
There's only
anyway,
one.
We're down in between these paws walking around the base. And you think, well, who cares? Nobody gets to do that.
Oh.
Most tourists, there's a viewing platform on the side only, and you're a good 40 yards from the item. We're mulling down and around, and that's usually only for foreign dignitaries to actually go down and be at the base, touch it, hug it, whatever you want to do. I got so many pictures of just that because I couldn't believe I was doing that. And then we had the same luxury when we went to the pyramids. By the way, oh my God, dude, you would like that. And I'll tell you what, if you're adventurous and you like to, the climbing inside that pyramid to get up to the Queen's Chamber, it's not the King's Chamber.
Oh, you get to go up there.
You get to go up in it. And it's amazing. However, it's very steep. It's not for the weak-hearted. I'm a little claustrophobic, so I was very worried. I did okay with it, to be honest with you. However, they have a subterranean one that you are mostly on your belly doing an army crawl to try to get to the chamber underneath, which I had no part of, and it's quite a distance to do it. But usually when you're doing these things, there is hundreds and hundreds of people, and it's literally wide enough for one person. Can you imagine two people trying to either climb up or climb down these chambers? I don't even know how it's done, but with this group, with this tour, this is part of what you pay for, right? Because they got to pay, I'm sure, somebody. We had it all to ourselves. So there was 33 of us. We got the whole place to ourselves, basically.
So you go in these pyramids.
One pyramid, the Great Pyramid, yeah.
The Great Pyramid. Yeah. And that's, I'm guessing that's the one, the typical.
Tallest one.
Yeah. Did you find any treasure?
Yeah.
I'm a national treasure guy, man.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
that's kind of cleaned out, buddy.
Dang it.
But what is amazing, now think about this, guys, right? They say the average stone's anywhere from 3 tons to plus 50 tons each. And when you're going up this chamber, the stones are stacked on top of each other. There's no mortar. You think it's mortared? No, it's so precise. You couldn't slide a piece of paper between it. And they did that with other rocks. They didn't. Yes, they had some chisels, but when they do this, they it's basically using other rocks. They smooth it out with other rocks. Like, holy moly, it's amazing. Amazing. And to see it for the first time in your life, it's chilling. Hair stood up on my arms. Because you see that all the time. You see pictures, right? And then to actually be there, amazing.
How tall are they? Do you know?
Yeah, it's like equivalent of 12 stories. So you've been to my apartment.
Yes.
So basically the height of my apartment to the ground. But
wow.
It's so wide. That's what you lose perspective of how wide it actually goes.
Yeah, so I want to hear a little bit more, just briefly, about your Nile River experience.
Very cool.
What was that like? It's a big river. It's the biggest river, right?
Yeah, it's the biggest river. How many boats are on there? And they don't have, like, a navigating schedule. These guys are brilliant. And here's what they do. When they all go to the same site, there's hundreds of these cruise ships, hundreds.
Yeah.
Guess what they do, how they dock. They dock side by side by side. They tie to each other, and then each cruise ship has a center door. And so when you're getting off your cruise ship, if you're like the fifth ship out,
you walk through all the boats.
You walk through five other cruise ships.
Oh, I love it.
It was the most And then, well, what if one's not there the whole time? Let's say the second one wants to move. Well, these guys undock, they pull that away, and then these ships all navigate back. Now there's only four. It's the most amazing. I don't know how they do it, man.
I've seen that at local marinas with small boats, but not a cruise ship.
Yeah.
What if you end up on the? What if you get back on the wrong cruise ship?
Well, they give you these little cards to get on. So, like, if you handed your card to the and they ask you for the card, they're like, "Oh no, you're on the wrong ship, or you shouldn't be on the ship at all."
Get out.
And by the way, yeah, you didn't even know you were moving. No, there was nothing to like. You had no conception that you were actually cruising, other than you could hear the engines.
Yeah.
Very smooth. Very smooth. Amazing.
Okay, so we got to talk about the most important part of any trip.
Go ahead.
The food.
The food. So very interestingly, we had Italian food our first night there.
Okay.
Which was suggested because most of the time we had traditional Egyptian food. And it was just fabulous. We ate, and breakfast always was a mix of Egyptian and American. But for the lunch and for dinner, it was Egyptian.
Okay. Was there... anything that you just wouldn't eat?
Yes. Yes.
Were there Brussels sprouts?
No. Worse.
Worse.
One of the traditional meals that you're going to get served, and Kevin will love this because I know how much he loves food.
No.
Yeah. Pigeon.
Oh,
pigeon.
Squab.
Squab as you would.
Squab as you would, yes.
And I...
Pigeon is delicious.
And it's... How did you have it? Where's pigeon in the U.S.?
Come on. In New York City, Michelin star restaurants, high-end restaurants. It's called squab. They're about the size of a Cornish hen.
Yeah.
It cooks a lot like duck. It's very tender. You can serve it medium rare.
That's it.
It's just delicious.
However, the two pieces they put in Egypt anyway, the two pieces were the two pieces of the breast.
They're tiny.
And literally, they're like an inch and a half square.
Wow.
And that was your whole pigeon. The rest was rice. With like cinnamon and Mediterranean
perfume
flavor.
Spices.
Yeah. But yeah, I didn't think I'd do it. And I said, I'm here one time in my life. This is apparently a thing to do. So I'm going to do it.
Well, I have a question about the food because there's a lot of food traditions revolving around Ramadan, which was surely going on while you were there.
It was going on.
So did that affect, let's say, the way you ate, or did that impact your trip as far as culturally?
Yeah.
You learned something.
Yeah, no, certainly learned about Ramadan and sort of the restrictions. But for us, again, Disney, give them a big shout out. And again, I owe nothing to Disney other than they gave me the memory of a lifetime. Where they're going to go and eat, Ramadan wouldn't affect it. It's very professionally done. They choose those places for that reason. Yeah?
Got it.
Mm-hmm. But to your point, though, if you were just a tourist visiting and you wanted to go out to eat, they say, it's almost like restaurant week in Denver, where it's kind of more of a fixed menu. They're cooking a lot of meals at once because everybody wants they can break fast. Everybody's. And it was at the amazing thing was, right, so at sundown, which there I think it was like 6:15-ish. Till all hours of the morning, it was a party. It was a nonstop party. You'd never want to drive in Egypt. But one thing I do want to get in that surprised me. So favorite, most amazing thing I saw, the Sphinx, which I don't know that I expected that. The second best that surprised me the most, Valley of the Kings was incredible.
Incredible.
What's Valley of the Kings?
That's where once they figured out all the and I'm not an Egyptologist, so I hope I say this right, Nirmin or Mustafa, if you're listening, I hope I get this right. But once the priests realize that, of course, you build a big pyramid, you are now attracted to be tomb robbed, right? So they decided to bury everybody into the Valley of the Kings, which wasn't a good kept secret anyway, because they were also tomb robbed. Matter of fact, the mummies that you see were mostly taken and buried in one location to protect them from getting stolen. That's how they got them. Mm. That's how they discovered them. But so it's this mountain. It's a mountain, and all of the pharaohs were buried in, instead of a big old, you know, pyramid, they were buried in the mountain. Of course, they were sort of grave robbed. Matter of fact, that's where they found Tut, okay? Which was amazing. Got to see that. But what's really interesting is Tut is the only mummy that I saw, anyway, that got put back in his original tomb. He's actually in that tomb. So when you go in, you see the mummy of King Tut.
Wow.
Okay? Very cool. Got pictures of it. It's amazing. But here's what was really cool. Like, you know, they basically make paint grinding rock, colored rocks or gems and stones, and they mix that with, and there's two items. I can't remember the second one. It's killing me. But the first one is egg whites, and they painted it on. Well, through times and history and conquering people, a lot of the outside stuff either fell apart, sun-dried, what have you, but inside the tombs that are under the ground, for the most part, they were incredibly vibrant paintings and colors. It looks like they were painted yesterday. And they're what? 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, however many years old. And so that made it just a very surprisingly second favorite for me, because you could almost feel like you were there.
So this was a trip of a lifetime.
Trip. Nothing. I almost can't compare it to anything.
And what would be next on your list if you could go on another trip tomorrow?
Well, we already know, and we are actually considering Adventures by Disney, but Italy.
Italy, wonderful. And
because of the food chef, you know that, right?
Absolutely.
This was because of the people and because of the things, the historicness. Italy will be because of the food.
Two questions real fast before I close out.
Yeah.
How hot was it?
Great question. By the way, most of the time, upper 70s to low 80s.
So it's not like...
Oh, wait. Well, it's not summer yet.
Oh.
However, we had 2 days, and they made a clear point to tell us it's not summer yet. That hit 106.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Did you ride a camel?
We did not. It wasn't part of the... matter of fact, how about this? I'm going to blow you away. Didn't even see a camel.
What?
Didn't even see one.
I don't think you went to Egypt then.
We did.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It's just that
I think you just went to the museum.
We were going
to
do it on our own time.
You went to Luxor.
Yes, I did. We were going to do it on our own time. However, we slept through that day because we were up for 24 hours.
Well, I can't wait to hear more about this after the show. Thank you so much for sharing.
Awesome, chef. However, we're not done yet. I want to go right into 10-second tips.
Oh, my gosh.
I am going to challenge you. I have a question for you. Oh, I got a feeling you're going to know the answer you're the all-knowing chef.
Oh, I got to tell you, after a couple weeks off from 10-second tips, I've rested on my laurels. I totally forgot about this.
Kevin, I'm going to ask him a... Egyptian question of food.
Okay.
Over or under, buddy?
Oh, I'm going over. He's relaxed.
It's
been a while.
I don't have
he
that
wants
kill-
to get airtime. Is that it?
You don't see that killer instinct in my eyes right now, do you?
No. All right. You ready?
Okay.
I think he's going to get it quicker.
Okay.
What is the difference between sort of, I'm going to call an American kebab and Egyptian kebab?
Oh, that's a good question. Okay. American kebab is pieces of meat and vegetable on a stick, and then it's all grilled. Where traditional kebab is like a ground meat mixed with lamb. It's bound by bulgur wheat, and then that whole thing is grilled like a meatball on a stick. Boom.
14.2.
Oh, you let me down, but you were going there. You paused. As soon as you paused to tell what it was made, I could see your mind thinking.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I lost.
Yeah, I was not. That's a good question. It's been a while since I've made those style kebabs, but they are delicious.
Yeah,
and now I'm having
pretty good
dinner.
Is that? They're not. Are they easy to make?
Yeah. It's usually ground lamb.
But what would you use an immersive? What would you ground it with? Like, how would you ground it? Like
in a food processor.
Food processor.
And
then
mint and turmeric and cardamom and all those kind of flavors. Cinnamon.
Got it.
And bulgur wheat, cooked bulgur wheat is the binding agent. So good. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to have that.
All right, everybody. Look, action packed this week. Sorry to rush you guys. Join us next week for another great show. 8 a.m., 104.3 The Fan. See you next week, everybody.